Good morning. While I know many of you, I'm sure there are plenty here that I haven't met, so I'd just like to take a minute to introduce myself. I'm Todd Burns, better known as Beth Burns' husband, Max, Vivian, Wiley, May, Beth, Burns, and Bear's chief, or Tori, Chase, and Sam's dad. I have been married to my wonderful wife, Beth, for 42 years. We met at Louisiana Tech, and through her, God changed my life drastically for the better. Amen? Amen. I knew I'd get an amen out of a bunch of men out here, because maybe the only one I get, so I had to get it early. We've been members of North Ferry Community Church for about 6 to 7 years, and I'm up here because you recently voted for me to become an elder here. Hopefully after today, you'll still feel that way and you won't have to resend your vote. Seriously, I'd just like to say thank you. I'm humbled and I feel privileged and grateful to serve as your elder. So today, I want to talk about radical giving and generosity. But before I start, I'd like to pray. So bow your heads with me, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the name above all others. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with this wonderful church. And God, I pray that today you would so fill me with the Holy Spirit that, God, it would be your words from your word speaking to a church. And God, that we might be the church that was called just for a time such as this, and we might multiply and make a difference in our city, in our state, in our country, in our world. Thank you, God, again for this time and this opportunity. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I get started, there's a few people out there. I just want to say thank you for being here. I see them sitting out here, and for the past 35 years, I've been in a Monday night Bible study. And if you're thinking about getting in a Bible study, let me just tell you, and I say this especially for you men, because all it can do is make you better. You know, the word says, as iron sharpens iron. Well, these men have sharpened me way beyond what I should have been or could have been. So I just want to thank them for being here. And they know who they are. I don't want to call them out and make them stand up. I might afterwards. The passage that I want to focus on today is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. I want to read through it and then we'll go back and kind of break it down a little bit. But so the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Verse 6, so sparingly. Sparingly, definition for sparingly is in a restricted or infrequent manner in small quantities. And bountifully means in generous, abundant, or a plentiful manner. In verse 7, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Under compulsion is acting or being forced to act against one's will or free will due to external pressure or coercion. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants it to be from the heart. Verse 8, it's all grace abound to you. God's favor and undeserved good fortune may be with you in abundance, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God doesn't start us down a path anywhere in life and not supply all of the things that we need. Now, sometimes we got some wants, but those aren't needs. But God will supply everything we need to carry out his work, his good work, through our church. Verse 9 says, as it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. He quotes Psalm 112:9. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The back half of this passage, I sometimes have to expound it a little better for me to understand it. I am from Webster Parish. But I use the Amplified version sometimes. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read the last half in the Amplified version. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous. And your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. For the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, God's people, but it also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God. Because of your standing of the test of this ministry, they will glorify God for your loyalty and obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous-hearted liberality to them and to all the other needy ones. And they yearn for you while they pray for you because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, his favor and mercy and spiritual blessing which is shown forth in you. Now thanks be to God for his gift, precious, beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible free gift. It's not only what we give that matters, but the reason for our giving. Paul wants it to come from the Corinthians' heart. I think one of the best stories in the Bible of radical generosity or radical giving is found in Mark 12:41-44, where we see that the little old lady put everything she had. Verse 41, I'll read it for us. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. It's not about, how much. It's about where our heart is. So I can tell you from many years ago, living in a trailer house in Greenwood, Louisiana, not a double wide, mind you, it was single. And my wife and I gave out of our $640 a month budget. It's hard for me to say $640 a month budget. That's all we made. That's all we brought home. But we gave to our church in Greenwood at that time. So God laid it on our heart to do that. So when I stand up here and tell you, it's not out of boastfulness. It's out of a spirit that God lays on our hearts. And over the years, that's changed a lot. But the impact is still the same, whether it was from the 640 or a much, much bigger number than that. We gave and God blessed us and he blessed others. And I think one of the things that's the end of this passage, I'm about to get off my notes. I'll get a little wild if I do that. So Proverbs 22, 8 and 9 also says, whoever sows injustice will reap calamity and the rod of his fury will fail. Again, it's about sowing and reaping. In verse 9 in Proverbs 22, 9 says, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Paul wants us to know that God is the source, not only of all the blessings for the Christian, but of all the spiritual qualities of his or her life. That's what I was trying to get to a moment ago. It's from God that all these things come. Any good thing that we do is from God. Because without him, we're all just a group of sinful people. Not only does God love the cheerful giver, but he, the God of unparalleled generosity, has himself made that person's generosity possible by his grace. You know, at the end of our passage, it talks about an indescribable gift. And I believe John 3:16 describes that gift perfectly, but I said in the morning service, and I'll say it again, we as Christians learn that verse from a very early age, and we get so used to saying it and quoting it, I think sometimes we don't slow down and meditate on exactly what it says, but he gave it all. And as a father now and a grandfather, and I see a lot of fathers and grandfathers and mothers and grandmothers out there, when you think about what he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's everything. So when they asked me if I could speak about giving or generosity, it was easy because all I have to do is think about that. I mentioned that I'm from Webster Parish. I don't know if any of y'all know where Shongaloo is. Maybe I need to go up to the big city where it was close by with Spring Hill. So that's where all my family's from. So when I think about a little boy from Webster Parish and how my life's been blessed through an amazing wife, three wonderful children, and now seven grandchildren, and the men that I mentioned earlier, it's easy for me to get up here because I want to tell everybody about it, because what I give is nothing in comparison to what he gave for us. Amen. His spirit comes into our hearts to impart moral qualities like generosity. We can never give to the level he gave, but we can certainly give more when his Holy Spirit is leading us. 2 Corinthians 9, the back half, 10 through 15, I think it talks about the overflowing thanksgiving. And Paul had a firm grasp of the fact that God deals with us in grace, pouring out his blessing on us so that we in turn may prove to be a blessing to others. This is something quite fundamental to God's dealing with his people throughout the Bible. As far back as Genesis 12:2-3, he says to Abram, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God's blessings is not to be kept to ourselves, but is given to us so that others may share in the good gifts of God. We can't ever or truly outgive God in the sense of exceeding his infinite generosity, as God's capacity for giving love, grace, and resources is boundless, and most importantly, unconditional. He gave, and we could give nothing in return. It's simply through his grace. But it does, however, call us to be like Jesus and encourages a mindset of radical generosity, giving freely of our time, resources, and love to others without expecting anything in return. We've often heard it said that the best gift is one that you give and you expect absolutely nothing in return. And that's what God did for every one of us in this room. We can't possibly give him anything back. All we can do is love him and pour out that love to those around us and those in our community. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This suggests that abundant giving aligns us with God's flow of blessings, not to compete with him, but to reflect his heart. By giving sacrificially and joyfully, we participate in his divine generosity, though his giving always surpasses human limits. I submit to you all today that Norris Ferry Community Church is truly a blessed church. You know, in a time where if you drive around this city, you'll see churches, church buildings boarded up all over the place. Norris Ferry's flourishing. We started with no building. Now we have a very nice campus. We, by all metrics, have been a very successful church. But here's some brutal facts about success. Success can make you arrogant. It can kind of make you cause complacency, where you just want to kind of wrap your arms around what you got here, and that's a problem. As stated earlier, God's blessings are not to be kept to ourselves. So I say we need to ask ourselves as a church two questions. What is our potential? And why is it important to reach our potential? I believe the answer to the first one is to please God. One of the chief ways that we are disloyal to God is when we make small what he intended to make large through us. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." James 1:22-25, I'm going to read it for you. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at it himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. I said earlier, I do that now. It's just old age. I forget what I look like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I think the answer to the second question of why is it important to reach our potential is to help others. We're called to reach as many people as possible for the kingdom of God. Therefore, as Jared laid out a few weeks ago, we need to multiply ourselves and our blessings in our community and beyond. And how does that start? I think by radical giving as a church of our resources, our time, and our grace. What if we paid off the bank even earlier than we are set up to pay it off for our building? And we were able to use that resource for more missions, for more church planning, for more church renewal. How much more of an impact could we be in our community, city, state, country, world? Our city needs it. And I can't help but believe that Norris Ferry has the ability to make a huge impact in this city. In closing, I want to share this with you. A great college basketball coach, John Wooden, said, success was not determined by winning or losing, but by how much effort you put towards reaching your potential. A couple of weeks ago, my son that plays golf got into a playoff. He played so hard, played his heart out to get into that playoff. And on the very first playoff hole, he had about a 6-foot putt to win the playoff. And he's a great putter. He hit the putt. It took a little bounced outside. He missed it. He went on to lose the playoff about 3 playoff holes later. But as a dad, and I say that, you dads can relate. I mean, I was brokenhearted. I mean, I was, not for me, but for him. You know, I thought, well, I got to reach out to him and I got to try to make him feel better. You know, so I texted him and I said, anytime you were in a playoff, you won that week. And I said, this is the very reason I say golf is a very imperfect game. But you know, as good as you are, if you keep putting yourself in contention, you'll win a bunch of them. And I think it's a great warm-up for the U.S. Open. Well, he texted me back and said, yes, sir. Sucks bad, but it happens. But that's not the part I want you to hear. What he said next, gave it all I had. Left it all out there. Gave it all I had. So church, when it comes time for us to answer to our Heavenly Father, and he says, Norris Ferry, what'd you do? I blessed you. What'd you do in Shreveport? How awesome would it be if we could say, we gave it all we had. One more verse I want to leave you with is Isaiah 58:10-11. And it says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as noonday. and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Thank y'all. I appreciate you.